This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome, guys. My name's Dipna Boholt and welcome to the podcast. In today's podcast, what we're going to be covering is a recording that was done at one of my live events. Now, this is one of a series that I'm putting together for you as podcasts to listen to. And the reason I think this is so important is because inspirational stories are motivating. They're inspiring by the very nature of the word. And regardless of whether it's a great story or whether it's a story of hardship or problems and how people overcame those problems, it's a great way to really learn through the eyes of another person. You know, you don't have to go out there and create your own mistakes. You can really learn from somebody else's and somebody else's successes. Now, the full version of all of the videos that I'm recording in this success series are all available on my website. So you can go in there and see the full video as well as the pictures of the properties and some of the numbers around the properties that we talk about in this podcast. So it's iloverealestate.tv. If you want to go in there and have a look at the full version, it's all there for you. So let's talk about this success story that we want to cover today on the podcast. Now, the gentleman I'm talking to on stage, his name is Michael, and he is such a character, I tell you. He started off by telling me how he found me and how he found the I Love Real Estate community. And he's a bit of a skeptical old bugger. And he thought I was a charlatan. He thought I was a con person. He thought I was all sorts of horrible names he calls me on stage, which is a bit of a laugh, really. But have a listen to his story because we call him the homeless investor. Is he really homeless? Well, no, not really. When he was made redundant from a job some 10-odd years ago, he bought himself a motorhome. So he cruises around the country in his motorhome doing deals. I bet a lot of you out there would love to have that as your lifestyle. He's such a character. I know you're going to love him. So have a listen to this recording of the live event that we did because it's such an inspiration, as I say, to listen to other people's stories, especially someone like Michael, who, you know, he started off with very meager beginnings. He didn't have a lot of property when he started. He certainly didn't have any cash flow. And what he was doing to just make ends meet, every time he needed to have some more money to live on since he was made redundant, he would sell a property and then he would live off that money. Well, of course, that can't last for very long, can it? Because you're going to run out of properties to keep selling. So that was his situation. And that's really when he went looking. And that's when he found the I Love Real Estate community. And listen to the story. He'll tell the story. You have a listen. I know you're going to love it. And I'll come back on the other side of the recording and have a bit of a chat.
Michael, how are you? Wake me
up before you go. There you go, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now, they call you the homeless investor.
They do.
Why are you a homeless investor?
I live on the street.
Okay. You must be one of the wealthiest guys that lives on the street.
Well, yes. A couple of years ago, I had some long service leave coming to me. And yep. I had a little Winnebago. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go up north to see more of Australia. Mm-hmm. And when I came back after a couple of months, I thought, I really like this. I don't really need a big house, which I had. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'll put all the stuff in storage and rent it out. Mm-hmm. And I've just continued living in the Winnebago. And if I don't have a project, I just free camp. So I am literally homeless.
All right. So tell me, how did we meet?
You're a con woman.
Right.
You're a liar.
Right.
You're a cheat.
Right.
You're a charlatan.
Right.
I received an email back in, we've been together now 9 years.
Wow, we've been together that long, haven't we?
Yes. From a gentleman called Neil Jenman.
Right. And he doesn't like me very much.
He's a bit of a, what would you say, he goes after the bad real estate agents. something like that.
Oh, yeah, anyway. An egomaniac, in my opinion, but anyway.
Anyway, I received an email from him, and attached was a video saying, "Beware of this woman. She is a liar, a cheat, and all the rest." So I opened up this video, and there's Dipna interviewing, I think it was Deirdre, the flight attendant.
Can't remember now.
See, liars can't remember, can they? Anyway, I'm looking at this video.
I've interviewed a lot of people.
I'm looking at this video, and the power of suggestion comes in, and I think, my goodness, he was right. Look at her. Just, oh, yes. Anyway, and this is the spooky part. About a week later, and I still don't know why, I received an invitation from John Gian, and I wasn't part of his mailing group, to go to this seminar called The Millionaire Phenomena.
Do-do-do-do.
Exactly. And on the lovely card was a photo of you. So I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go and see this vixen.
The vixen.
Yes.
Right.
Now, I was living in Melbourne at the time, and this was at Rod Laver Arena. So I went there. It would have been a crowd this big. And I usually try and sit in the aisle seat. So I can make it out. Exactly. So I'm sitting at the aisle seat just looking around, and all of a sudden my right shoulder gets jolted because this woman barging down the aisle to the... I almost got up and told her what for, but I thought, no, I'll be polite. So she's on there and I thought, oh, look at this. Oh, it's even worse than I thought. Anyway, you brazenly got on stage and you flicked your hair and your eyelashes and all the things you do. And am I going too far? No. Anyway... By the time we had our first tea break, I thought, I'm going to sign up. And I did.
So I wasn't the vixen you thought I was. Or maybe I am still.
Well, maybe you are. I don't know. And I believe I'm the only person to ever make you cry. I don't know if you can remember that. I don't know if you remember. It was the first boot camp I went to in Melbourne, and I told this story to you, so I'm not sure if you remember it. And I remember you stood up, and you had your arms crossed in a very power stance. Yes. All right. And I told this story, and tears did flow. Not from me. And you actually did autograph a book, which I cherish to this day.
Thank you very much.
So, no, thank you. Thank you. So, yes.
So that's how you got to be part of the I Love Real Estate community, and now you're on stage with me.
I know.
What are they going to say about you?
Oh, they've said enough, believe me. They've said enough, believe me.
All right. So your position pre-us, was what?
Look, I've been investing in real estate for probably 30 years.
Yep.
I started when I was about 3.
Right.
Okay. And...
Bit like me.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. And look, I wasn't doing too badly. Some properties I bought were cash flow positive before I knew what cash flow positive was.
I'm sure I invented that word.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I even did a joint venture, vendor financing before I knew what it was.
Whoa!
Right. So
very
I thought,
good.
Oh, what can Dipna teach me? Nothing. But anyway, I went there. But also, I bought also properties because I like the colour of that wall. Those were the properties that
Good
I sold
reason.
At a loss.
Yes.
Anyway, about the turn of a century, I was going through a rough patch and I found that I had about 6 properties, but I found when money got tight, I just sold a property.
Yeah.
And then my money worries went away for a short time. Hmm. And then I thought to myself, I was down to my PPR and I had 2 little commercial investments in Melbourne. And I thought, no, this has got to stop. I've got to do something. I do like property, but I do need more guidance. Mm. And that's when I saw you on the stage, I thought, no, this is the way to go.
And they're all in your own name, of course.
Of course, yes.
Cross-securitized.
Oh, yes,
yes. All that
stuff. Yes, just like you told me to.
Ah, no. All right, so what action did you take?
Okay, let's have a look.
You sold off the PPR? Yeah.
I did a sea change.
Yep.
Moved up to Queensland.
Oh.
Oh, yes, to a little place called Coral Cove.
Very nice.
Do you know where that is?
I do.
Oh, you do. Okay, that's near Bundaberg. Mm-hmm. So I moved up there, sold off my PPR in Melbourne, again, to get rid of some debt. Mm-hmm. And then I sat on that lovely piece of furniture you always refer to.
comfy couch.
Mm. Did that for about 3 years. And then I thought, no, I better get off and do something because I'm about to, you know, almost reach 35. And I thought, I better do something. Mm. Excuse me. anyway, I got onto the forum and I did a joint venture with a student.
Right.
Okay. He was to find me the property, project manage it, right? And that was fine. And he found me a house in a place called Tumbiumbi. Exactly.
Tumbiumbi. Is this the Tumbiumbi?
That's the Tumbiumbi one.
Right.
Okay. What it was a commission house that had been burnt out. The tenants didn't like the landlord, so they set fire to it.
So you like my fire, flood and termites?
I love termites. I love termite damage.
They're my three topics.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went down there to have a look at him and I said, oh my God, it just looked, from inside it was all burnt out. And he took me aside and he says, don't worry, it's mainly superficial as it can be. Anyway, cut a long story short, I won the auction, went back home to Bundaberg. He commenced the renovations. I get all these emails from him, please pay this, please pay that, please pay that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little bit worried, even though I had checked him out beforehand and he was registered and all the rest of it. And I'm expecting to go down there after the renovations and find nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I went down there after, did a brilliant job.
That was your cynical attitude coming through.
It was. But no, he did wonderfully well.
Do we need to get in there and work on that a little bit?
What, to become a liar and a cheat?
The cynical attitude.
I've been told that's part of my charm.
Oh, is it right?
No? Oh, okay. So I renovated that. It was going to be my PPR. But with work, it didn't work out, so I had to move back to Bundaberg. But technically, it was my PPR,
right,
which was a blessing when I sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I then met up with an estate agent through work, and this was just after the 2013 floods.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me she was doing an auction on the weekend. So I went and had a look at the property, did my due diligence, did a bit of negotiation with the banks because it was hard to buy flood property just after the floods.
Totally, yep.
Anyway, I got that one through and rented that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you did a little reno on it there.
And what was your learning in terms of, so for a lot of people when they hear flood, it's like, oh my God, yeah, that's great. You can get in, you can do this renovation, but how do you refinance it at the end or how do you sell it at the back end if it's flood affected? So you have a very good
flood,
process.
Look, flood isn't flood. I'm taking Bundaberg because I know that.
Mm-hmm.
There are two sides of Bundaberg, north and south, mm-hmm. as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
Your north you keep away from because mm-hmm. any flood at all, the north gets flooded. The south is different. The flood we had in 2013 was almost a 1 in 1,000 year flood.
Yep.
Okay. I bought a property on top of a hill and that still was a metre underwater. Very unlikely to happen. I also look at what the banks like.
Mm.
Right. The banks don't like north, they like south.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The LVRs straight after the floods were probably the 50 to 70%. Within 6 months, they went back up to the 80, 90%. And the same with the insurance. Initially, the insurance premiums are very high, but they come down as well, like with most natural disasters. So I was pretty confident with that.
So the moral of that is to be an area expert. So when you're looking at flood, you know, some areas are absolutely
exactly
flood in any situation.
Well,
so
knowing the area. For instance, Rocky floods, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I don't know anything about Rockhampton.
Hmm.
Because it's only 3 hours up, but it doesn't interest me. But you have to know your area and which areas. And flood is, as I said, even termites. If people say it's been termite damage, I love it because you can just negotiate the price for right down. People and asbestos, negotiate it right down. But when you really look at it,
none of those things are particularly scary.
They're not. No. So yeah, I've learned that.
So we made some money on this one. We revalued at 200. The total cost was 133 and you rent out 275, which makes it nicely positive cash flow.
Certainly does, yes.
Very nice. Okay. So what did you do from then? Meanwhile, you're still living in your Winnebago.
No. I was still living in Coral Cove at this stage.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is about 4 years ago.
We haven't made the Winnebago
right. thing yet. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep.
So you did it again?
I couldn't sleep one night.
Right.
So I got up. What do you do when you can't sleep?
Get on the computer, go and find a property.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And I'm a great believer, and so are you, that when the time is right, the opportunities come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going on the Winnebago. I'm going on the computer, and this pops up: five one-bedroom units in regional Victoria, mortgagee auction. Mm-hmm. I think it was 154. Okay. Well, this looks interesting. Did my back of the envelope calculations. Rang up the agent first thing in the morning. He didn't want to talk to me. He said, I've been inundated with phone calls. And I said, oh, okay. And I knew it was a very good price. And I said, listen, I'll offer you purchase price, unconditional. I had no finance, I had nothing, right? I said, unconditional. And I thought, he goes, okay. He rings back about a day later and he says, the Commonwealth Bank have accepted your bid. It's the lowest, but they've accepted yours because you're going unconditional. I said, fine. I said, send me up the contracts, okay? Now, by the time they sent me up the contracts, and look, I can never be bothered going to the post office. So by the time I picked it up and I sat at my coffee table and all the rest, and they ring me up all the time saying, where are the contracts? Well, they haven't arrived yet, okay? And I waited until they got narky.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add a bit of crucial information?
Yes.
When you received the contract, it had been signed by the sellers. So you were sitting on a signed contract. They were waiting on your signature.
Exactly.
They had already committed to it.
So I had the property off the market. Unlike New South Wales, I can't be gazumped.
Mm, that's right.
So I knew I had time within reason. So within 3 weeks, right, I had all my due diligence done. I had the finance done and everything was fine. I sent them back and that was perfect. Perfect. I really haven't done anything to that property at the moment except increase the rent. So I asked the agent, how often, when was the last rent review? She said, oh, about 10 years ago. I said, okay. First thought was, they have to be reviewed. Second thought was, what kind of crappy agents are these?
That's okay, right.
Anyway, they were the only agents in the area, so I thought, I'll stick with them for now and I'll test them out. Anyway, there were two units vacant at one stage and she rang me up and she said to me, I've got two barmaids from the local pub who want to rent the units. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And I said, listen, that's up to you. That's what I pay you for. You tell me if they're okay. She said, okay. She put them in and then she rings up about a month later. She says, oh, we've got problems with the two barmaids. I said, what? I said, oh, they're having late night parties. They're bringing customers home and whatever, you know. Oh, okay. And the other three were elderly people.
We did talk about culture before, didn't we?
We did. Mm-hmm. So I said, no, this isn't going to do. And she said to me, do you mind if I get a little bit nasty? I said, you can be as big a bitch as Dipner if you want. No, I didn't.
You did not say that.
No. Was I far off, though? No.
Maybe you should ask my husband. I'm not sure.
Anyway, she said, fine.
Okay.
Right. She said she went in there and she just tore strips off them, did whatever she had. They are now my two best tenants.
Still there, long leases,
and they are wonderful. So, yes.
So you've still got the upside of being able to strata title. It's positive cash flow.
Positive cash flow. I found out recently that there were six units, but one of them burnt down, which I didn't actually realise.
So you probably still had one.
Because they're in two different lots, so you know, so I can put another one on there and strata title them, not to sell, but just to give an uplift.
Yeah, if you need the money
to pull money out.
Yep.
So I love these. These are my pension.
Very good.
Okay.
Where'd you go now?
Okay.
Another flood.
This is another flood. This was again with the same agent.
You just pray for rain. You go out there and do happy dances in the rain.
Oh, I did. We had a big storm the other week. I was so wishing that my roof would blow off. I'm halfway through a renovation, so it would have all been insurance paid. It would be lovely, but they didn't. This one I went through the same agent, but she was my buyer's agent.
Right.
So this one never even hit the market. So it was another flood house. This is the one on top of the hill. Just a basic renovation. I always like, when you said, you know, 2 plus 1, mm-hmm. right, I always like to add bathrooms, not bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But works too. Yep.
Works too. Mm. So with all of mine, except those units, I've added a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that's really increased. So this one, as I said, 100,000. Actually, it's just now been revalued at 240. So it's gone up a little bit more.
Great. And positive cash flow.
Positive cash flow.
And with this one, you had a conversation with the real estate agent in terms of feeling bad about possibly taking advantage of...
That was the first one.
Yeah. So do you want to just explain? Yeah. So, you know, again, you might be sitting there going, aren't I taking advantage of these people that are termite or fire, you know, impacted?
Well, the first one was the flood auction. and I won it. I got for half price, basically, or little less than half price. And after I won the auction, I actually went to the agent and said, I feel bad. She says, why? I said, I feel like I've diddled someone, you know. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she said, listen, the insurance payout was twice the value of the house. This is cream on top for them. And I said to her, damn it, I should have bid less. So, look, when I do a deal, I always try, I don't screw down to the very last dollar. I always like to make it a win-win situation, as long as there's a profit in it for me.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, because I'm a big believer in karma, and mm-hmm. she's a bigger bee than you. Okay, and I'd like to be on her good side.
Okay.
So
this one?
This one I just purchased in August. Yeah, in August. This is right dab smack in the middle of Bundaberg in the medical precinct. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what I'm going to do with this. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's renovating. It's 3-bedroom. It's got a very, on the side there, on the left-hand side, it's a very long sunroom, which really is useless. So I'm turning it into a, eventually it'll be 3-bedroom, 3 en-suites.
Okay.
And I'm thinking mm-hmm. of either Airbnb or doctors and nurses accommodation.
For the hospital.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And another little story about this one is, sometimes when you go through, sometimes you don't have that much confidence in yourself. And you think, oh, look.
I do need to get into that head of yours, don't I?
I haven't finished. I thought this was my moment.
Okay, go on then.
But anyway, sometimes you don't think that you're the smartest, you know, the smartest whatever. But then this house, it was, I didn't leave any photos of when it was sold. It was displayed like a pigsty, right? Mess everywhere.
They're the best.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know who owned it? The head valuer of Heron Todd White. Now, you would think she would know how to...
present a house properly exactly. for sale, yeah.
Plus, she sold it for less than what she bought it for.
Oh!
All right. The median price in that area of Bundaberg is about $252 for a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom. I got it for $175. So, I think... first, I thought maybe there's a, I don't know, Aboriginal burial ground underneath or something, but mm-hmm. no, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Good.
So,
oh, good.
So good.
Okay. So a few of the learnings along the way?
Yes, yeah. Have more confidence in yourself. Don't think you're as silly as you may sometimes think you are, right?
By this stage, you're in the Winnebago?
By this stage, yes, I'm totally in the Winnebago and loving it, and mm-hmm. loving it. Yeah, just follow the people who know, go in their footsteps, follow the people who know more than you do. And as Dipna said earlier, find a cookie cutter way of doing things.
Mm. That suits you.
And obviously mine is following disasters. So, so when I hear on the TV there's been a cyclone, I rub my hands. Oh,
off
yes.
You go.
Off we go.
That's why you got the Winnebago. So here.
So, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yep.
Have a good team of people around you, ones that you can trust.
Yeah.
A good team of tradies especially. Mm-hmm. Treat them very well. Mm. And you'll find that they will drop everything to help you. But basically, it's not rocket science. It's scary for the simple reason we're talking big figures in some cases. I mean, compared to the three we've seen today, these are very small figures. Right, but they're still big figures because I'm on a single income. I'm way below the average income, right? Because sometimes I see other people and I think, wow, they've done so much, and they have, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But then I look at how much I actually make to how much I've done, and I do give myself a pat on the back and think I'm not actually that, you know.
As you should, Yep. And that's why you're here.
Thank you.
So this is the final wrap-up,
yep.
The befores and afters.
Yep.
The cash flow, I think, is the big one, and you've been able to keep the commercial properties, which you were looking like losing.
I was going to sell them. The only problem with those is it's a bit like the apartment market in Melbourne. They have gone down, as you can see by the values. The values have dropped on them. Mm-hmm. They are tenanted. They had a corporate tenant for about 15 years, which was great. I think they were about $27,000 a year positive cash flow. Mm. Now they're probably slightly negative because I've had to drop the rent to...
get a tenant. Yeah.
But I am looking at the moment, hopefully, of maybe converting them to residential, as in studio apartments. Mm-hmm. They're on St Kilda Road. They're in prime position. So I'm just in the... I mean, I've still got 2-year lease on them, so... but I'm still...
Make sure you can do it with the council zonings.
Yep.
And any final advice?
Yeah, look, do what you love. Do what you love and you never work a day in your life.
Right?
You haven't worked a day in 10 years.
No.
But it's true, though, because if you're doing something that you hate... Well, I'll give you another story. I have a good friend of mine in Bundaberg. He's also a student. He couldn't be down here because he's working at the mines part-time as well. Now, he likes to do everything himself.
Yeah.
Right? And he can. He can do most things. Right? Me, you give me a hammer, I'll have to go on YouTube to see what I do with it. I have no idea. Right? Now, the first renovation that we did was a joint venture with him where I bought the house, he paid for the renovations, and he did most of the work. I did some of the work, but he did most of the work. And then we reversed it for when we purchased his next house, which I didn't put up there. Then the house, the one that was on top of the hill, I said to him, no. I said, you're not touching this. I'm just getting tradies in to do the whole lot. Okay? It came in quicker. It came in cheaper, and the quality was much better. Mm. Not taking anything away from my mate. Mm. He did a great job. But, you know, I'm not a builder. I don't pretend to be a builder. The most I did was take their lunch orders. And at one stage, one of them walked up to me and said, you know, if you go home, we'll get a lot more done. I said, okay. Or I left. You know, so... You've got to know what your role is. I'm very good at finding the properties and finding the deals, and that's my knack, and that's what I, and I get the people who know what they're doing.
Happy
and if
with
I
that.
Need if I need advice, I come to people, lovely people like you. So yes.
Well, good on you, Michael. Thank you for sharing.
No worries.
Give
thank
a
you.
Big round of applause. Thanks for playing me out. Well, what did you think of Michael? I told you he was a character. And, you know, his story is very inspirational in a lot of ways because for a lot of people, jumping in a motorhome and tripping around the countryside doing deals is the ideal lifestyle. And for most people who really want that lifestyle, it's actually very attainable. It's something you can make happen. And all you need is a little bit of planning. You know, you might need a bit of a run-up period to it. You might need 6 months. You might need 12 months. But you certainly can make it happen. If that's what you want to do, I'm telling you, it's a very real possibility for you. In Michael's case, he doubled his equity and created a passive income. And that passive income is there year after year after year. He doesn't have to do anything else to continue to earn that passive income. It comes in regardless. Obviously, sticking to a plan and working strategically has meant for him that he can hold properties that previously were looking like he was probably going to have to sell them. You know, some of those commercial properties he probably would have had to sell. And if he hadn't taken the action that he did, if he hadn't got himself educated and started to work strategically to a plan, he would have run out of properties and then he would be either get back in the workforce or on the unemployment queue. You know, if he couldn't find another job at his age. So it's never too late. It's never something that you should, say, well, there's no hope for me, because there is always hope. There is always a strategy that you can start with. So I hope you enjoyed his story. I certainly did listening to it again. And, I hope that you continue with the series. We've got some great success stories coming up in this series that you can listen to that are recorded from a live event, just like this one with Michael. And remember, you can go to the website. You can go to ilovereallestate.tv and listen to the full recording and see the pictures and see all the numbers and all of the things that we talk about in this podcast and a whole lot more. I'll catch you again on the next one. Bye now.